Welcome, everyone, to Living the Good Life. We are here with you live in the studio again today, and I'm here with my buddies, Pastor Jim Elsberry. Are you right there? Oh, there he's waving. All right. And Marla, dear Marla DeFreeze.
Good
How
afternoon.
Are you doing?
Fabulous. God bless you.
Yes, we're so glad to be on the air live from Clearwater, Florida. You are listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are global, and we are excited about this radio show today. You two are always a joy when you're on the air. In fact, I love all of our contributors. I mean, last week was my son Mark and his girlfriend Steph, and that was fun, really fun. And every week we have somebody different, and I think you all kind of enjoy doing this, don't you, Pastor Jim?
Oh, I surely do.
You look forward to it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you get to do a little teaching and a little explaining, and it's fun, isn't it, Marla?
It's great to share your experiences and the miracles that's happened to you with
yes.
other people and inspire them.
It
that's
is.
That's what it's all about.
And we faithfully do this broadcast every week, and today we are broadcast number 122.
Ooh.
So we are above the 100 mark. We had that big celebration March 8th, and that was exciting, and here we are. Show number 122. So we're glad you've joined us today. You have time to call a friend, relative, say, hey, why don't you tune in? We are, if you're in the Tampa Bay area, you're on 1340 AM, but we also welcome you to join us on the internet. It's great reception there. www.tantalk1340.com. Tantalk1340.com. Push the listen button. And then you can actually even see us, too,
right,
not just
right.
listen, right? So, Pastor Jim, you wore your yellow Living the Good Life shirt.
Yes, I did.
All
my
right.
radio shirt.
Yes. We're going to tell you later on how you can get one of those free. Those are brand new shirts that we just got, a whole box of them. So it's exciting. We are going to get in the Word today. Have we seen any answers to prayer? Have there been anything going on in our lives? Can either of you... You don't even have to be specific, but I mean, just just agree that God's answering prayer.
God answers prayer. I mean, we see it every day. We have the prayer ministry.
Yes.
And we've seen multiple answers to prayer through that ministry.
Absolutely. And I'm just reminded of one that happened just a few weeks ago. Pastor Jim, you went to work, parked your van in the parking lot at where you work. And
poof, it was gone.
And it was gone. What, a few hours later, you went out at lunch and it wasn't there.
It wasn't there. It had been stolen. And apparently it was the third car already that morning that had been stolen
wow.
in St. Pete. And so I called my partner to make sure he didn't take it and not tell me. He didn't. So then I called the police and then I got right on the prayer line. And
right.
Praise God. 6 hours after I discovered it stolen, we had it back.
Yes.
With very little damage.
Right.
Praise God.
Praise God.
It's certainly drivable. We had to get, new ignition, that kind of thing. But praise God, 6 hours
yes.
later.
Yes.
We had the car back. We could drive it, had to do a little work to it. But
answer to prayer.
And an answer to prayer. And
absolutely.
I just want to pray. They did catch the person that did it. And I do pray for him.
Right.
That God would work in his life.
Exactly.
Just in the same way that God brought the car back, I'm believing God's going to work in this kid's life.
Exactly.
To bring him to himself.
Absolutely.
May I say something? I admire you for your attitude and your opinion and the way that you're handled everything. Even you're praying for the person who stole the car.
Right.
It's your obedience to God. And most people that don't turn their ways over to the Lord would be cursing, drinking, once they found the guy, you want to kill him, et cetera, et cetera.
But, and I will admit, there were times when I had those feelings, and that was
sure.
one of those spiritual battles.
Right.
I do want to see justice be done.
Right.
I mean, on the That's human, right. I mean, justice needs to be served.
Right.
But the Bible, Jesus clearly said, forgive and
right.
you'll be forgiven. If
Amen.
I don't forgive people who wrong me, then I won't be forgiven, and I'll stop. You stop the flow of forgiveness into their lives. So I have to forgive this person, and it's not a. I want to make this real quick point. Forgiveness, Satan will try and bind you up about forgiveness.
Absolutely,
I can't forgive this person. Yeah, you're absolutely right. On my own, I can't.
Exactly.
But it's a decision that you have to make. Forgiveness, like love, is not primarily an emotion. It's a decision.
Wow.
I know what the Bible says. And as an act of my will, depending on God,
right,
I have to forgive.
Amen. You know. And honestly, that's a great segue. We don't plan this, so you didn't know, but that is a great segue into the word that we're going to teach in just a few minutes. We are excited about this topic today because we have been studying and talking about how the devil plays mind games with us. And I think, Pastor Jim, one of the games the devil plays is telling us we can't forgive this person for that because it's too serious. And if I forgive, then I've agreed with an awful thing they did right to me, you know?
And continue to do.
And that's a lie of the enemy, you know? It's a lie. We're going to expose some lies of the enemies enemy today. We're going to talk about mind games. We did that last week with my son and Mark and Steph. We talked about that, but we're going to take it a step further today and get it even a little further into the Word. So if you have your Bible, find 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And, you know, we all need healing. That's where it's at. And we had a powerful service this morning at Beacon of Hope in Tampa Bay area. We had a great service, a wonderful time. And one of the things we were talking about is how Jesus commissioned the disciples and in turn us to get out there and heal the sick. Okay? Now, sometimes we all think that healing sick just has to do with physical problems in our bodies. But it is so much more than that. Yes, God wants us to heal the sick from diseases. But today we're going to stress the emotional and mind games and things that we need to be healed from. Jeremiah 17 verse 14 says, "Heal me and I shall be healed. Save me and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise." And that's a song we've sung at Beacon for a long time, isn't it, Marla?
Yes, it is.
Heal me and I shall be healed. And that is our prayer today. Pastor Jim, before we go to this first song, I'd like for you to start with prayer today.
Okay, amen. Father, we just give you glory and honor and praise for this time together. Lord, we just ask your continued anointing upon the radio program. Father, we ask that you would just put your anointing on the word as it goes forth. Father, in the name of Jesus, just send forth that word with an anointing and let it land in anointed ears and take root in anointed hearts.
Oh,
Father,
amen.
We just pray in the name of Jesus that the word would produce the fruit of righteousness in everybody's lives who's hearing it. And Father, we pray that that word would change people's lives, that there would be healings take place, that there
amen
would be deliverances take place, that there would be salvation in the name of Jesus.
Praise
in that
God
name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Powerful. All right. Heal me. Aaron Jeffrey.
It's another good to see you Sunday morning. Oh, I hardly hear the words roll off my tongue. Looking in myself for signs of something that's long gone. Oh, I stumble through a verse that says you love me, as the voices echo, my thoughts drift away. I close my eyes ashamed, I'm feeling nothing, and I pray, heal me, heal these eyes, heal this heart, heal my mind, breathe your breath of life, heal me, awake my soul. Give me back the joy of when I first believed. Heal me. Oh, I lose myself to one more day's indifference. When my eyes are everywhere but fixed on me, I don't have the strength to overcome this distance, but you do.
heart, heal my mind, breathe your breath of life, heal me, wake my soul from this sleep, and give me back the joy of when I first believed, heal me.
Wonderful song. I can't help but say, wow, I've never heard that song. And you are listening to Living the Good Life here from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we need to have our eyes healed. We need to have our minds healed. And that's what we're talking about today on this show. We are so glad you've joined us. Call a friend, have them tune in. There's still plenty of time, although the 90 minutes goes by very quickly for us that are right here in the studio. Marla, what'd you think of that song?
Loved it.
What was it saying?
It just penetrated into the very soul of my being.
Yes.
And being that I am a healed one.
Yes.
It just brings a smile inside of me.
Exactly.
Knowing that, yes, he has healed me.
He has healed you. And he is healing you. You know, it's not just one incident.
No.
In your case, it was a physical thing from breast cancer, healing from breast cancer, which was incredibly wonderful.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it is that ongoing healing, Pastor Jim, that's going on in our lives. Don't you feel it? Don't you see what God's doing in our lives?
It can be a scary thing.
Yes.
Because the progressive, and I believe that God does progressive healings in our lives,
yes,
especially in the area of healing our mind sometimes,
right,
or healing our emotions. Sometimes that is such a long process, and because it's easy, I think, sometimes to retreat back,
yes,
into what's comfortable for us, even though we know it's not good for us, it's,
right,
not the best for us. But sometimes those old patterns are really hard to break, and that's where God needs to come in and has to really heal our thoughts and,
right,
sometimes deliver us from,
yes,
some of this stuff.
Exactly. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and let's look at verse 3. I'm in the Message Bible, and I know you both have other translations, so you can jump in here. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "The world is unprincipled." I would agree with that, right? It says, it's a dog-eat-dog out there, you know? The world doesn't fight fair. Now, the world is talking about everything that we see around us all the time. You know, just the way life is in our culture and society in this day and time. We don't live or fight our battles that way. Wait a minute, I forgot one word that started that sentence, and it was but. But we don't live or fight our battles that way. Never have and never will. The tools of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation, but they are for demolishing that entire massively corrupt culture. What is Paul talking about here in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4? What culture is he talking about?
He's talking about a spiritual level. It's a spiritual,
yes,
war that's going,
yes,
on. And that we have to recognize that it's not on the human level.
Right.
Satan tries to destroy us and keep us from all the glory of God.
Amen.
By using other people, especially in our emotions and in,
yes,
our soul, in our,
that's,
mind.
Right.
And he puts thoughts in our mind or in someone else's mind and causes chaos and conflict. And that's what Paul's talking about.
He is talking about that. Pastor Jim, you have a comment to that and you want to read it in your...
Yeah, this is New American Standard. For
let's
though
hear
we
it.
Walk in the flesh, of course we all do, we're still in the flesh.
Right.
We do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses.
Wow. What?
Those destruction of strongholds.
Strongholds. We all have strongholds. When we talk in a few minutes, we're going to talk about some strongholds and what we do about it. We're going to get very practical. So if you're out there listening with a pen in your hand, grab a paper because we're going to give you some practical things to work with. Paul says, go ahead.
I was going to say, I just want to follow up on one thing that Marla said.
Go ahead.
Satan will use other people, and we have to remember, and I know we're probably going to end up in Ephesians chapter 6.
Yes.
But Paul says there, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
And that's, I think, bottom line, rock bottom, where we have to start with spiritual warfare is remembering my battle is not with the person that persecutes me or annoys me or whatever, but with the spirit motivating them, the spirit behind them.
Exactly.
And I think, excuse me, a lot of people, when attacked for being a Christian or for having a particular stance about an issue or whatever, we need to remember that it's not that person. It may be a demon, literally,
right, absolutely,
a demon behind them, motivating them. And that helps so much because then we... And because Satan would like us to take every little slight or insult very personally.
Exactly.
Because that disempowers us, as it were, for lack of a better word. And yet if we recognize, no, I realize it's not this person. It's, you know, not Bob or Sally or whoever.
Right.
It's something, you know, a spirit is behind them motivating them to do this or pushing them to do this.
Absolutely. And Jesus said that he has given us, this is Luke 10:19, given you power and authority, all of us, to tread upon scorpions, snakes and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy. And in the original Greek, that's translated evil words and evil actions that people throw at us. Jesus said, I gave you the power to tread on that. We are in a series right now called Stomping Out the Evil, okay? And we're talking about our feet and how powerful our feet are in this series. If you study books of the Bible regularly, we always ask that you join us as we study a particular book. We're in the book of Mark right now. And get in there. You're going to find story after story of how Jesus took his God-given authority to get rid of the devil's work in people's lives. And that work was things like deafness, was things like blindness, was things like emotional hangups and problems and things that cause people to be crazy. And that's what we're talking about. This is not just mental illness, but these are spirits of fear, spirits of anxiety that overcome us, spirits of panic, spirits that would absolutely try their best to destroy us with resentments. And you mentioned unforgiveness earlier. This is what we're talking about. Let's look back here at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read it out of the Message Bible. And again, we're in about verse 4 or 5. And here's what Paul says. We use our powerful God tools. Now, we're going to talk about God tools. If one of you could make a note there for me so we can talk about that in a minute. God tools for smashing. Now, when something is smashed, have you ever smashed a pumpkin? Is it usable after that? I mean, just think about something that is smashed.
Destroy,
right? It's not something that you can usually just glue back together if it's smashed, okay? And Paul says here, we use our powerful God tools for smashing warped philosophies. I'm anxious to hear what it says there in the New American Standard. Tearing down barriers that are erected against the truth of God. Marla, write that down. Barriers that are erected against the truth of God. And then here's another one we're going to discuss. Fitting every loose thought and emotion, thoughts, emotions, and impulses into the structure of life shaped by Christ. Our tools are ready at hand for clearing the ground of every obstruction. What are these tools for? To clear out the obstructions and build lives of obedience into maturity. Obedience into maturity. Pastor Jim, you have a comment. I can see it right there, and you can read it in your translation if you want, which is New American Standard. I love.
Yeah, verse 5 says, we are destroying speculations. Philosophical thing.
Right.
And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Wow. Okay.
So,
what? How does that translate to you?
Well, I think it's so important that, and that we sometimes we get carried off in a sense by just speculations and philosophies. I mean, that's why Paul writes, you know, later on about in Ephesians about not being taken captive by every wind of doctrine.
Yes.
You know,
exactly.
Because we can get blown about by everything unless we're grounded in the word and we
exactly.
know what the word says. You know, and sometimes it's just, it can be harmless. Just, because I've been in groups before where you just sort of start and you talk and you get off in these bizarre God tangents and things like that. And that's.
We don't do that at Beacon. We get right back in the word, don't we?
Right back into the word.
It's just the word. We're not going to go there.
Every lofty thing.
Yes.
Raised up against the knowledge of God, the true knowledge of God. You know, there's so much out there competing with that true knowledge of God.
That's right.
Different books, different philosophies, different religions.
Right.
Competing with that true knowledge of God. And that's what we battle against. And it's not just that. It would be anything that stands in the way of a person truly knowing God, whether that's a philosophy, an issue, something from inside of themselves. Anything that stands in the way of them truly knowing God is a stronghold that needs to be torn down.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
It's also their reasoning with themselves on the reasons why they shouldn't or they can't. It's that those proud obstacles and those false arguments that stand in their way.
Exactly.
It's all the excuses that they make, and a lot is from Satan. By fear,
right?
They instill fear in them, and justification and reasoning, and it's just he puts so many excuses in the minds that it keeps them from the glory of God, and it keeps them from being teachable.
This is where the battle is, and that's what we're talking about today on Living a Good Life. The battle is in the mind, and Paul says there's all these things that come up. They erect barriers. They keep you from receiving the truth of the Word of God. It can be that you just never ever sit in here and listen to a sermon, or you never go to church, or you never read your Bible, you never open it, or you don't ever pray, or you don't really have that desire, you don't have a thirst and a hunger for God. Those are things that are barriers to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth, it says, and this is so true, Jesus said in John chapter 8, the truth will set you free. Okay. And when we do find out the truth that God is greater than anything that the devil throws at us, any suggestion, any speculation, any barrier, anything the devil throws at us, God is greater than that. And the truth of God's word is greater than that. Amen.
And the truth is living a Christian life. Is
yes.
the kind of life to live.
Why?
It is fabulous.
Why,
you have peace,
Marla?
You have
Come
joy.
On.
You still have problems, but you have someone greater than everything that you can turn to.
Amen.
It's going to help you out.
Amen.
Plus, you have great people to fellowship with.
Yes.
So it's a whole
Amen.
Other life that's such a blessing.
And what a comfort it is. I mean, we've all been through stuff. I mean, the three of us have been through a lot.
Yes.
But it is such an incredible comfort
yes.
to have Jesus with you,
Amen.
Inside of you.
Amen.
To have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Paraclete,
yes.
the one called alongside to help us.
Amen.
In the midst of whatever storms we go through.
Yes.
Stolen cars, foreclosure, losing pets even.
Right.
I mean,
all kinds
from
of
personal
things.
Experience. God was there the whole time.
Yes. Amen.
And that's what makes, you know, that's... You know, people, while you're using it as a crutch, well, praise God, there are times when we all need a crutch.
At least we have a crutch.
And I have a crutch.
Amen. You know? But see, the devil will come and tell people, you don't need that God stuff. Oh, you know, it's just boring. It's not interesting. And how do you know it's even true anyway?
God helps those who help
Oh,
themselves.
Yes, that's another lie
that's one of
the
biggest lies of the devil.
It is. And it's not anywhere in the Word.
God helps those who can't help themselves.
That's right.
And that's all of us.
That's
we
exactly right.
We need to put
right.
action behind our faith, though. I mean, God without, I mean... Faith without action.
Okay, faith is based on this, the living word of God. I quoted this morning, we need to say it again. Hebrews 4:12 says that the word of God is alive. It's living,
right.
Okay? It is active, okay? It means something's happening in it, You know, it's living, it's active, it's more powerful than anything. Mm-hmm. And it's able, it says, like a scalpel to get down in to your innermost thoughts and feelings. That's Hebrews 4:12. That's not my idea. That's God's idea in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is alive. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, like a scalpel, and able to divide and tear apart those old yucky attitudes, those old feelings of, oh, well, this is the way I've always done it. Mom always did it this way. I'm going to do it this way. I mean, it's that, and that complacency, yeah, that laziness that so many people have about their spiritual lives. And I know I'm preaching, but I'll tell you, I'm still fired up from this morning. Okay. I'll tell you, we live in a day and age when people are so entertained, okay, mm-hmm, by whatever, and nothing against video games and TV or the phone or anything like that. I have it all and love it all. It's not that. It is, where is our priority? And because the devil has so often blinded us to our need for God, and the fact that, guys, we can't do any of this without him. We, amen, you know, there's an old song that our music leader in my church in Indiana that I pastored used to sing all the time. Without him, I can do nothing. Without him, I'd surely fail. Without him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. And then she would always go on and sing the next verse, which I think she made up. I don't know if this was in the song or not. But with him, I can do all things. Maybe it was in the song. And with him, I'll never fail. But with him, I'll never, never be drifting like a ship without a sail.
So true.
And that is where we're at today. We are so glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life. We're going to have Marla and Pastor Jim here in just a moment, and we're going to get into nitty gritty of how you do this. How do you recognize the devil's work? What makes you know something's going on there that isn't right in your life and that you need to take some action? We're going to talk about this today on Living the Good Life. We also invite you to our services at Beacon of Hope. The next one will be Wednesday night. Pastor Jim leads our Bible study at 6:15 on Wednesday nights. We are prayer meeting. What did I say? Prayer meeting. Yeah, okay, study. Prayer meeting. And then we have Bible study at 7. And yeah, you do lead that sometimes. So you and I together a lot of times do. So we welcome you this Wednesday night. That's our next scheduled service. And then Sunday mornings at 11. Listen to station identification. We'll be right back.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network, AM 1340 WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg, and AM 1350 WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel.
Amen. We are back live, living the good life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. I'm here today with Marla and Pastor Jim. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister. We are glad you've joined us. You can always reach us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com for your comments. We have a website that we are revamping right now. It's still up, but we are doing some work on it and making it a little more current and up to date with some things. And it'll also have the last 10 radio shows that we've done, so that we'll have some current material up there. So we've got that going. So go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. That's an IES on the end of it, beaconofhopeministries.com. Marla and Pastor Jim, we have these things in our lives that attack us. They are sometimes great ideas, but they aren't ideas of God. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe they're not great ideas at all. Maybe they're awful things like fear and anxiety and panic and nightmares and things that come at us to destroy us. Lack, you know, sickness, disease. Should we just roll over and take all this and just say, oh, well, this is life. Okay, it's all right, I guess. This is the way it's going to be. I think the devil, the answer to that is no, right?
No.
Okay.
You're right.
Right. I think the devil plays mind games with us, guys. I want us to talk about this. And Marla, I had you write down a couple words. What's the first one?
God's tools for destroying or smashing.
Yes. God has given us tools for smashing all this junk in our lives. First of all, number one, we fall out of agreement with it. Okay, if you're taking notes, write this down. We fall out of agreement with the, let's just use anxiety, for instance. Some people have anxiety attacks, and the anxiety builds up in your chest, and then you feel your heart just going boom, 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 boom. And you can't think, you can't sleep. You wake up in the middle of the night, you're scared, you're worried, you don't know what you're going to do about a given situation in these tough times economically and in all kinds of problems that people are having with jobs and homes and mortgages and all kinds of issues. The devil uses anxiety and panic, and I'm just pulling that out as an example. But he uses that so often. And does anxiety and panic bring you peace and joy?
No, in fact, he can even add to the anxiety by putting false arguments into your mind.
There you go.
You know, and
that's back to 2 Corinthians.
He tries to steer you into making the wrong decisions, and when you make decisions without God,
right,
they're the wrong decisions.
Right.
So that's what I meant about putting faith behind your action. It's just like saying, okay, God's going to just throw money from the sky. I just have to sit in my apartment. I don't have to go out and get a job. Well, excuse me, you have to go and work and earn a living.
Right.
You know,
even Paul did
that.
He made tents.
Right.
You know,
right.
He was a missionary evangelist, the greatest. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But Paul had a job. He was a tent maker.
Wow.
Yes.
And I think you hit on one of the signposts that you know something is wrong.
Let's hear it.
When there's no peace.
There you go.
The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard, will umpire your heart.
Yes, Colossians 3:17.
You know, it's going to stand there as an umpire. And if you don't have peace about something, then there's a good signpost that something's not right. Because
Absolutely.
Our God is not a God of chaos or disorder.
Amen.
Our God is a God of peace and wholeness.
Right.
So if there's no peace and there's no wholeness, if it's fractured like you talked about
right.
this morning, or if there's just something empty or missing,
right.
that's not God.
No. And this is things that have happened to us. Some of it has been passed down to us from generational curses and things in the family. Some of it has been abuse and things that have happened to us that have hurt us severely. Sometimes people have hurt us so bad that we are fractured and we're just broken and we're empty and going through all kinds of chaos. This is not of God. Chaos is not of God. If we had our board right here, I'd be writing right now, chaos versus peace, right?
Right.
And peace comes from Jesus. And Jesus said in John chapters 14, 15, and 16, he said, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so often we allow our hearts to be troubled. We allow the fear to come, the anxiety to come, the panic to come, because we don't know how to stop it.
Right.
We need God now more than ever.
Why, Marla?
Because we have so much less peace during this economic downturn.
Yes.
And people are turning to, I mean, now it's what has dominated society as far as entertainment. Look, all the games are destruction, are war, or bloods and violence.
Right. Like
and
video games, that
the
kind
video
of thing.
Video games
yeah.
are just so violent.
Right.
And there's just so much anger.
Right.
And
so much anger.
There's just so much opposite of peace. There's so much chaos that we all need to even draw closer to God.
Amen.
Because we need that peace that isn't just like in the 70s and the 80s when life
like,
was
wow.
more peaceful. Yeah. You know, the hippie
when
generation
Pastor Jim
was
had his
peace.
Hair down to his waist,
yeah.
you mean, and all that kind
yeah.
of stuff.
Not well, down to here. I had pretty
uh-huh.
long.
Right. Yeah.
It was a more peaceful era. But now it's more chaotic.
It's chaotic.
Right.
And you're right. It is inspired by the devil. And some of you out there may be going, oh, you're just crazy. You're off the deep end. No, if you don't have peace and you've got all this chaos working, the devil's working overtime to destroy you. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just thinking of that bumper sticker. And you know, it may sound trite to some people, but it's no Jesus.
Yes.
N-O Jesus. N-O, no peace.
Right.
K-N-O-W Jesus.
Right.
No Jesus. K-N-O-W. Peace. No
That's
peace.
That's right. No Jesus.
Without
no
Jesus,
peace.
There's no peace.
Right.
With Jesus, there is peace.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. Why do we need Jesus? I mean, why can't we just do it on our own, guys? I mean, I want to spark you guys, both of you here, to comment to our listening audience, because somebody out there may be hearing the devil say, you don't need any of that. You don't need that Bible. You don't need to learn those verses or anything like that. After all, you're smart. You're intelligent. You got a great mind. You can handle life on your own.
And we can't.
Why? I mean, why can't we?
Because we're broken human beings. And we can look at, and I'm not putting down, you know, I work in social service, so I'm not putting down therapy.
Right.
But therapy can only go so far. Therapy deals with the mind, the will, and the emotions.
That's right.
Jesus goes beyond that to the very spirit of a person.
Amen.
And I mean, to the very core of our being. The humanistic, the natural world tends to look at, okay, we got a body, we got a soul.
Right.
The Bible says we have three parts,
exactly.
A body, a soul, and a spirit, and we are in reality a spirit being.
Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, if you don't believe it, spirit,
Amen.
Soul, and body. Go on.
And Jesus works on the spirit because
yes.
that's the wellspring of our life.
Amen.
Is our spirit.
That's the real you.
Yes. Yeah.
That's who's going to live for eternity,
and
your spirit.
If we let the spirit dominate
yes.
by the power of the Holy Spirit, then our mind, our will, and our emotions do get saved. In fact, James says the word of God implanted, which is able to save, heal, complete, make whole your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's the word of God. Now, I'm starting to preach, Pastor.
That's all right.
It's the
catchy.
Word of God that
Next
does
will be
that.
Marla.
I know.
Yeah.
But it's the word of God that does that. And
exactly.
That's why we need Jesus.
Amen.
It's not just life insurance to keep me out of hell.
No.
Okay? I mean, that may be the beginning for a lot of people. But there's so much more to being a Christian. There is wholeness. There's healing.
Amen.
There's deliverance. There's fellowship with God. There's fellowship with other believers.
Yes.
I mean, it's incredible.
Our slogan at Beacon of Hope, Marla, is...
Where the Word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
Amen.
And that was from day one when we opened Beacon of Hope. We are not a typical church in a lot of ways because we tread where others don't want to go. And right. That is straight to the heart of the issues. Okay. Right. And I am not afraid as this pastor to say, God wants you set free from the junk that corrupts you and that makes you crazy and that hurts you. God wants you free. Where the word of God, notice who gets the glory right here. Where the word of God, not some pastor, where the word of God brings healing and restoration to hurting lives.
Where the true word of God.
Whoa. Amen.
The true.
Amen.
And that's important, too, because the Bible is an interpretation, a translation, and where the true word of God.
Exactly. Where the spirit of God gets down with that word and gets on the inside of us and does surgery.
Right.
You know, I always thought I wanted to be a doctor and growing up, and it, long story short, didn't happen. That was the years when they took two women out of 220 in 1970. I'm not going to tell you that 1970, but I just did. So I didn't get into med school, but my husband at the time did. And I wanted I didn't know what I wanted to do, but one of the options was surgery, you know, and to take that scalpel and to get in there and fix something. You know, well, God never allowed me to be a medical doctor. But years later, when he was healing that hurt in me, because I didn't get into med school and I didn't get to fulfill what I thought was my dream from the time I was 7 years old. But as he was healing that, God said to me, you are a doctor. You're a doctor of the soul. You know, and the healing, the deep healing, because with surgery, physical surgery, you can only go so far. I had my appendix out as a kid, and that, you know, they go in there, you know, you don't see what they do, but you see the scar afterwards, right? But you see that something happened in there, and I never had problems with my appendix again. Of course, now it's in a little bottle on my dresser. And some of the people from my church have seen it and just love its appearance. But it came out of there, sitting on the dresser now. It is not affecting me. Surgery took place, correct? Now, spiritually, God wants to do surgery in us. And maybe we're not medical doctors, but we are spiritual doctors. Comments, you two.
I've got a big comment that you just, You know, I worked with my father for 3 years. He wanted me to be a general surgeon.
That's
and I
right.
helped deliver babies.
That's right. Little
and,
country town yeah, in the deep south.
Yeah, but you know what? The reason why I did not pursue the medical profession is that I could never take the pain away. I
wow.
could medicate them all that I wanted to.
Praise
but
God, Marla.
They wanted natural childbirth, and they were in labor for days. And they hurt so bad, they would look at me and individually and just beg me to please take the pain away. And it just pierced my soul.
Wow.
And I knew that that was my calling. I wanted to take the pain away. I could not just help them, and that's why I could not do that as a profession, because
right.
I could not take the pain away.
Right.
But now I can help take the pain away.
Amen.
I can offer them a positive coping mechanism for relieving stress that isn't violent.
Right. And it is not pills. And it
not
is
pills
not
or
booze.
Drug or sex or drink
right.
or cursing
it's none
or
of
fighting.
Those things that we substitute. Comment on that. Why do we do that? And what is it that we all do? I mean,
well,
most of us don't
we
do
have
that.
Learned,
but I mean have done. Let's say have done in the past.
Well, growing up as children, we learn either by observing our parents, how they deal with stress.
Right.
Or just things that we have learned that work for us. Which are usually don't really work for us, but they serve to mask the pain.
There you go.
To numb it
temporarily.
Yes.
Just to try and get us past it. And the worse the situation gets, the more we go off down the wrong path.
Right.
And that's why I really appreciate what Marla said, doing that kind of, God sometimes has to do that spiritual surgery.
Amen.
Where... You know, and I look at the example of King Ahaz. You know, here he got beat up by the Assyrians, and yet in the time of his trouble, this same King Ahaz turned more and more to idolatry. He ran from God.
Okay.
Because that's what he knew, that's what he was comfortable with. The startling change is over in 2 Chronicles 33, Manasseh, who was the worst king Judah ever had, God had him sent off to Babylon in chains. And there, in his trouble, he did the other thing. He humbled
Amen.
Himself before God.
He did the right thing.
Yeah, he did the right thing. He humbled himself before God,
Whoa.
And God restored him. And that's what God wants to do with us. Although, you know, we're going to be, I mean, I tend to be an Ahaz quite a bit of the time. Because it's just, even though it's hurtful for us, it's what we know, it's what we
yes it's what we've been used to doing,
been comfortable with.
It's a human response.
Oh, don't forget where we are in this discussion. You've got to hear this song by Selah. And if you are thinking out there right now that God doesn't see your pain, your suffering, your situation, this song will minister to you. His eye is on the sparrow, and if it's on the sparrow, then it's on you.
Praise God.
Why do I feel discouraged? Why do the shadows come? And why does my heart I see.
Praise God. Praise God. We're glad you're back with us right now. Amen. That was a powerful song. His eye is on the sparrow, and you're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And some of you just heard Marla ask Pastor Jim a question. And we are excited to talk about this topic today. We're talking about how much God loves us and how much he cares about the details. And he cares about the hurts in our lives. He really, really does.
And the scripture there that the song we just heard was based on.
Yes.
You know, God knows when even a sparrow falls.
Yes, exactly.
So he knows when we fall. He knows when we hurt. And, oh, you know, that song just really blessed me. But,
yes.
You know, it's such a good song. But he does, and he wants to make us whole. He wants to lift us up and heal us and put us back in that nest.
He absolutely does. And so often we find that we are just going along with life and we're hurting and we're sad and we're depressed. And if there's any of you listening today that are just down in the pits with life, I mean, too much happening, too much stuff going on in your life, too much pain, too much sorrow. His eye is on you. God says you're the apple of his eye.
Amen.
That he loves you so very much. And didn't Jesus say in John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Yes.
And God did not come into this world, it says, to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
Yes.
And that saved is not just saved from your sin. What else is it, Pastor Jim?
It's wholeness, it's healing, it's deliverance,
woo!
It's refuge.
Yes.
It's the whole package.
It's the whole package.
We think sometimes come to the altar and get saved. Well, you know, it's not just
getting
your sins washed
away.
I mean, that praise God is there, and that has to come before anything else.
Right.
But there's so much more to salvation than just getting your sins washed away. It's coming into a right relationship with God. It's God bestowing wholeness and peace and healing and deliverance on you.
And why do we need that? Because right before we went to this song, we were talking about how people use substances. Why do they do that, Marla? Why do people use things to heal the hurt?
I can tell you personally.
All right. Tell us personally.
Personally, I grew up under condemnation from a church that meant well, but taught that God was a very, very angry God, and you better hope that you're going to be saved. It's very, you know, it's easier for a man to go through the eye of a needle.
Yeah.
Than it is to go into the gates of heaven. So
right.
It was fear that we would even be worthy enough, and that's how I was raised, believing. And so
then are you ever feel like you're good enough under that kind of teaching?
I left that church knowing that I was going to go to hell, and
right.
my coping was so of this world. I mean, I went out dancing and drinking and partying and just doing everything that is not of God. But you know
right.
what? Once I gave my life to Christ,
right.
my whole life has changed for the better. I'm not who I used to be.
Amen.
And as Joyce Myers would say, bless her heart, I'm not who I'm going to be, but I'm okay and I'm on my way.
Amen.
And I've got to tell you about this. The DVD, Faith Like Potatoes, will really, really show you how it is night and day from not being saved to being saved.
Amen.
The change that occurs in a person once they accept Jesus into their heart. Okay? Doesn't mean that all your problems are going to go away. It just means that you've got somebody on your side that's going to help you out from afar, but really being there.
And in you.
And how you bless others.
Amen.
It's a reciprocal relationship. And
yes.
It keeps going.
Amen.
And I like that point about when you become a Christian, all your problems don't go away.
Right.
Because like I said earlier, you know, the word of God implanted, which will save your souls, that's a process.
Right.
Salvation is instantaneous.
Yes.
But it's also a process.
Yes.
Once you accept Jesus, his blood cleanses you from your sins.
Amen.
And, you know, you're in that relationship with him. You're going to go to heaven. But there's Amen. Like that. Everything else I mentioned about salvation, that's kind of a process. We
yes.
appropriate
yes.
that by a process.
We do. And so often people can't begin that healing process until they acknowledge that God can help them with the addictions, the things that are keeping their attention off of the Word of God,
right.
you know? God wants to direct our focus, 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 focus. He wants to get us to focus on the fact that He wants to heal us. He has something incredible, listening audience, out there for you to do for Him. And it says in Mark chapter 6, where we were this morning at Beacon of Hope, I would just really feel led to go back here a minute. Mark 6, verse 7, Jesus called the 12 to him, and he sent them out in pairs. He gave them authority and power to deal with the evil opposition. And it's the evil opposition that the devil throws at us. That can be in the form of deep-seated rage. It can be in the form of abuse that's happened to us that keeps us, that's opposing our peace of mind, mm-hmm. you know? He sent them off with these instructions. Don't think you need a lot of extra equipment for this. You are the equipment. No special appeals for funds. Keep it simple. And he just says here, we got to get down to the basics. God wants to heal our hearts where the pain is, and he wants us to be ministers of that healing. Comment on that.
I just love the transformation. That period is great. Once you start following God, the substitution occurs.
The substitution. I want to explain that to our listening audience.
The substitution meaning what you used to use as a coping mechanism.
Okay.
He beautifully substitutes. Like now, instead of me drinking, I reach for Christian music.
Okay.
I get my high off of Christian music. I'm praising and worshiping Him, and it is just absolutely making me high.
It
is such a beautiful blessing. Now,
it
you
is.
Can listen to a song, and it does nothing to you. But when you listen to a song, and the Holy Spirit in you
Ooh.
Gets involved, it just lifts your whole being
It
up.
Just changes
like
you.
It.
You can be in the pit of depression,
oh.
in the pit of anger and frustration and whatever, and a song,
mm-hmm.
the anointed song, even anointed. Like this one we just played, His Eyes on the Sparrow, brings us back and reminds us God's caring about all these details in our mm-hmm. lives. Go ahead, Pastor Jim.
Well, God sent the disciples out. And the same thing he did, he commissions us. I mean,
yes.
Mark chapter 16, and I'm sure we're going to get there eventually.
Right.
You know, these signs will follow them
yes.
that believe. Not,
yes.
not these signs will follow the pastors who believe.
Right.
Or the apostles who believe. But
right.
these signs will follow
those who
believe.
Amen.
In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They'll
yes.
heal the sick. They'll
yes.
raise the dead. Those are
Amen.
All things that we
yes.
can see.
Yes.
And that's what God has called us to do, to be doing that. I mean, physical healing, be ministers of emotional healing, spiritual healing.
Amen.
That's what God has called us to do.
Absolutely.
And, of course, the first step in all of that is watch our own selves.
Yes.
Make sure that we're in the place where we can minister. You know, and sometimes that's tough because, you know, there was a time for me when, like Marla, I did not want to have much to do with the church. I'd pastored a church. I got kind of burned out on it because there was a lot of politics and, you know, basically turned my back on it.
Okay.
And I haven't told you this yet, but.
Okay. Now he's going to tell me on the air.
Yeah,
okay.
On the air. Well,
great.
No,
go ahead.
Praise God. I got a chance to preach last Sunday and everybody
said
it was really anointed.
It was.
And I had to be careful because that, just hearing that was scary to me because it's been so long since I felt that anointing.
Oh, wow.
And saw, you know, had it confirmed by other people. That's scary because that means God's taking me personally up a notch.
Yes.
And, you know, anytime God does that to us where he moves us up.
Right.
That's kind of scary. And that's one of those points where you may want to run back and hide in what's comfortable but dysfunctional for you. But it's one of those times when you have to take down those strongholds and
say, that's right.
God, I'm going to trust you. You've brought me to this point. And yeah, I know there's likely to be opposition from Satan on this. But you know what? You and I are bigger than Satan.
Exactly. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. Absolutely. So there are so many times that we don't walk straight towards our healing because we are afraid that if we get in the Word more, we study the Word more, we go to church more, we praise God more, the devil's going to come out stronger and be nastier to us. Right, Marla?
The devil's going to take his shots any way, any time, any moment that he can, that you will let him. You see, you don't let him. That's the whole thing.
That's it.
You keep it in your mind. Right. You keep it. You know that you have power.
Amen.
Over him.
Amen.
Jesus conquered him when he went down to hell for 3 days.
Yes.
He is a defeated foe.
You
have to remember
it,
that. And you have to say, it is written. And you just throw it in Satan's face and say, excuse me, I rebuke you. You know, I have. Have the power over you, and you will not. And then just sit back and let God
resist the devil, and he will flee from you. James 4:7. Yes.
And I think along those same lines, the devil sometimes will put in our heads little thoughts like, you know, if you get saved, God's going to make you go to Africa.
Oh, right.
Those
exactly.
False arguments.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. God will make. You know, if you do this, God's going to make you do this.
Right.
You know,
I know,
you know, everybody fears those little mud huts in Africa.
Right. For some reason. And they're really wonderful. I grew up in one in Guatemala.
There you go.
They're really not bad at all. Mud hut with a thatched roof.
That's right.
You know, the power of God's love in our lives. He loves us so much that he is going to do for you what needs to be done. You need healing today, listening audience. Today is your day. We're going to pray for you in a few minutes. You got to hear this song. I had no clue that Connie put this one on today. Hillsong song, The Power of Your Love. Listen to it.
Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. Says I
Praise God, hold me close. Oh, oh wow, I love that song.
We're just having worship here during the song breaks.
Man, aren't we having church?
I said that's okay. I think it is too.
Oh, Pastor Jim, you were talking just a second ago about just the fact that Jesus already did the work.
Amen.
But we have a responsibility here.
May I?
Please.
Out of Second Corinthians chapter 5.
Yes.
When I first heard this preached, I thought it was heresy because I grew up in a background of sin, sin, sin.
Right.
You know, I mean, everything that was preached was all about sin. So, you know, like the Bereans, I had to check everything out.
Right.
But, you know, starting in Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12, we are not again commending ourselves to you, but giving you an occasion to be proud of us, since you may have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God, and if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us.
Amen.
Or compels us. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer.
Amen.
If you're in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away.
Behold, amen.
All things have come new. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ.
Yes.
And gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them.
Amen.
And he has committed to us this word of reconciliation. Just what you said, Pastor.
Yes.
God has already done the work.
He's
in
done it.
Christ. The blood has been shed. Jesus died, descended into hell, rose again, victoriously ascended
Amen.
Into heaven.
Amen.
The work's been done. God has reconciled humanity to himself.
Yes.
All we have to do is receive
what?
It. Receive it.
Receive it.
Believe that God has done it and just receive it. God's not mad at you anymore.
Thank you, Lord.
And Satan has as much power as we give him.
Amen.
And so we have got to learn to resist these mind games and all this junk that we need healing from. We got to resist it. And not just if you're feeling down and discouraged and defeated, the bottle is not the answer for your problem. It will only give you a temporary peace. And
Amen.
It's just temporary.
Right. And medication is to be respected.
Amen.
It's not to numb you out or a substitution for.
Amen.
It isn't recreational drugs.
Right.
I believe in medicine. I had to take it for a reason and for a season.
Right.
And now I don't. And when my next surgery comes, if I have to take it, fine. But it's not to be abused.
Exactly.
Don't let Satan get in your mind.
But Satan says to people, you can't live without this drug, or you can't live without this bottle tonight. You've got to have this, or you won't be able to sleep tonight. The devil is a liar. God's peace will allow you to sleep tonight.
Amen.
And if you don't have anybody to agree with you on that, give me a call. Call us on the church phone. Marla, you answer the phone 24/7, and it's 813-417-3377. And yeah, thanks. And you can pray with them, right? Or refer them to me, and I'll be happy to answer my phone.
You know, that's what we're here for.
Exactly.
That is all. That's what it's all about, is helping each other to rise above
Amen.
The struggle.
Yes.
You
to
know,
find the answers.
To fight and just
yes.
absolutely refuse, you know, refuse Satan.
Amen. And some people out there are saying, well, how do you do that? That seems a little easy or a little hard. I mean, not that easy. It is easy when you learn that you have been given authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. That's evil words and evil actions in the original Greek. You have been given authority. Jesus said that in Luke 10:19. You have been given authority to tread upon. That's why we're calling this series Stomping Out the Evil. Okay?
Just
You've
say
been
no.
given it. Yes.
That's it.
You got to resist it, though.
Just
you got to
no.
fight it.
Right.
And you got to make a decision. Dig your heels in and say, okay, from now on, I'm going to find where real peace is coming from, not from my bottle or whatever it might be. I'm going to find the source of real peace and joy. Pastor Jim, you got something. I can
well,
see it.
Just following up with what you said, we have to remember, and it's what Marla said. I just want to quote the actual scripture. that in Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 13, and when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh,
yes,
he made you alive together with him, with Jesus.
Amen.
Having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt,
yes,
consisting of decrees against us and which were hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Amen.
So everything that was against us, everything we'd ever done and would ever do, stuck on a nail to the cross. When he had disarmed the rulers and authorities, and in Paul, that's always talking about demon spirits.
Right.
He made a public display of them, having triumphed over them through him, through Christ.
Amen. We got to get that, don't we?
Amen.
We got to get that it's already done. It's a finished work. Go ahead.
Jesus divested them of their power, took away their power. You know, like you said, it's only as much power as we give them, as we believe they have. I mean,
right.
Satan is a defeated foe, and yeah, he can still deceive. He can still create a whole lot of havoc.
Yes, he can.
But we, in Jesus' name,
amen,
through the blood of Jesus, can stand against him because we have the Holy Spirit within us. We have the Word of God.
Amen. Plead the blood of Jesus over your mind before you go to sleep. If you're one of these that have nightmares and have anxiety attacks, plead the blood of Jesus or call somebody that you know will agree with you in prayer. And we're going to believe that you're going to get to the root of these problems. This is what we want to talk about in the book of Mark, of getting to the place where we know we have that authority, where we don't just know it, but we use it. You know, we use our authority. It's not just a nice little thing to sit on the shelf somewhere. Oh, there's my authority over there. I've got a really nice, pretty Bible, and it sits over there. It's in my nightstand. I take good care of it. I have a nice cover on it, and I don't open it because it's so pretty. I don't want to mess up the pages. Look at my pages. They're all marked up. Yours are too. They've been used. This is what your Bible is. It's your study manual for life.
Paul calls it your sword. You know,
amen.
It's our weapon, and if you never pick up your sword, when the time comes to really stand and fight,
amen,
it's going to seem unwieldy. It's going to seem like you don't have the finesse,
right,
the skill with it that you need to do battle.
Exactly.
That's why getting into the Word every single day,
you got to do it,
is important.
You got to have the Word. And there's so many people that go through life not ever picking it up and just occasionally going to church, Christmas, Easter, and whatever. That's not going to cut it. You're going to continue in your same ruts.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a comment there?
I have a confession.
Uh-oh. She does these things on the air.
No, it's a good confession.
All right, okay.
Well, I'm good, great.
No.
I'm doing every day better and better. I'm still the dog in the ditch. Daddy has to come get me out sometimes.
No, you're doing great, Marla.
I mess up, but I turn right around.
We're very proud of you.
But no, you know, I was afraid of the Bible. I was so afraid it was going to say something and condemn me because of the way I was brought up, you know, in the church.
Yeah, sure.
That I was so afraid of the angry God that was going to just send a lightning bolt down and I was going to go to hell. And so I was so intimidated by the Bible. I would not read it. I wouldn't go to Sunday school. I was just petrified.
Right.
And it took inch by inch and God bringing me to Beacon of Hope Ministries and you being so loving and saying, it's okay if you don't know the books. It's okay if you can't pronounce them. It's okay.
Right.
And through your loving kindness and your patience, I now have, and plus all Bibles aren't meant for everyone.
Right.
There's, you know, like I love the Joel Osteen Hope Bible. It's a New Living Translation. I love that. But, you know, I suggest go to BibleGateway.com because there you can enter a passage and you can look up.
You can compare
the translations up to about six different translations.
That's fantastic.
And see the one that's best for you. And that really helps me.
Got it on my favorites.
Yeah. And so now, you know, I love the Bible. I can read the Bible. I can run to the Bible. And I can relate to the Bible.
Because you understand it because it's in a translation in our language.
Right.
That's why I teach out the Message Bible.
So I'm not intimidated anymore. But it took some time. It was a process. Right.
There are people out there listening today that are going, okay, I didn't realize that the Bible was so important to my sanity.
Ah,
and guys, we got to drive this point home. Yes, we didn't. We never got to Ephesians 6 today, but we will probably next week. It is your sword. It is your weapon.
Yes.
You got to have the word. It's not okay to just let your Bible sit on the coffee table or in your nightstand or in the dashboard of your car till next Sunday. It's not okay, guys. Mm-hmm. And if that's what you're doing, you need to say, God, I'm sorry for not valuing your words and giving them first place in my life, because that is what we have to do. First place in my life. This is my source for everything. Every decision that confronts me, this is my source. When my faith is weak, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. I got to get a dose of the word. When I'm feeling discouraged, I go here and I find those scriptures that are going to help me. Go ahead.
And when what helps me is sometimes, you know, after a day at work or something, to sit down and read a little bit of the word, because the word itself in John and in Titus talks about the washing of the word.
Yes, it just cleanses us.
Tends to get off the dirt that we accumulate just by walking in the world.
Amen.
We tend to get, like they did back in Bible times and New Testament times. You'd walk on those dirt roads and your feet would get really dusty.
That's right.
It's the same thing that happens
Amen.
With us. We walk in the world and our feet, we tend to get a little dusty, a little dirty.
Amen.
Just to pick up stuff from the world. The word cleanses us from that. And that's another way that I,
the psalmist says, your word revives me and gives me life. Okay. And it says, forever, O Lord, thy word is
settled
in
heaven.
Okay. Last night, I'd had such a busy week with real estate this week. Clients from out of state, and I've been very busy. And I knew what word that I was going to teach on today, but not exactly. And I put on some very wonderful music last night, sat on my sofa, got my Bible, got my dogs around me, and began to just let God minister to me, and show me what he wanted to communicate. And guys, there's no substitute for that. You got to take time in the word. Get your Bible in front of you and God will begin to show you something. It's called the Rhema word, when it jumps off the page at you and hits you and it changes your life. This is a tool. We didn't get to all our tools today, but this is the most important tool. This is where the peace comes from. There are some of you out there right now that are saying, I don't know where to start. Here's where we start. We start with a decision. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? We're going to come back to that point in just a minute. Listen to this Natalie Grant song, You Are My All in All. And then we're coming back for some more discussion, and we're also going to pray with you. You are my all in all.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all. Your name, you are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. There are some of you out there right now who are asking the question, where do I begin to get free from the junk that pollutes my mind, that makes me crazy, that causes hurt and pain in my life? The first place is making sure that if you died tonight, you would be in the arms of Jesus. Just a couple weeks ago, we had so many celebrities die in, what, a week or two there. It was incredibly. And one of them was Billy Mays. You know, he died in his sleep, you know. And I just think there are so many people out there that wonder, when I lay my head on my pillow tonight, if I died in my sleep, where would I be? Now, here's the answer. You would be with Jesus if you prayed this prayer and believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Marla, I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me.
My pleasure.
For people to be able to speak with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you now.
In the precious name of Jesus.
In the precious name of Jesus.
And I ask you to forgive me now.
And I ask you to forgive me now.
For everything and anything.
For everything and anything.
I have ever said or done.
I've ever said or done.
That was not pleasing to you.
That was not pleasing to you.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.
I believe that God sent Jesus to this earth.
I believe that God sent Jesus to this earth.
To die on a cross for my sin and sickness.
To die on a cross for my sin and sickness.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe God raised Jesus from
and
the dead.
And that he is a risen Lord.
And he is a risen Lord.
I accept you now, Jesus.
I accept you now, Jesus.
Into my heart.
Into my heart.
And into my life.
And into my life.
To be my personal Lord and Savior.
To be my personal Lord and Savior.
Come and live in me.
Come and live in me.
And with me.
And with me.
I'm your child.
I am your child.
And you're my daddy God.
And you are my daddy God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Pastor Jim.
Well,
that is so nice.
Amen. That is nice. And now, if you prayed this prayer and you believe, truly believe, then you're going to be in heaven with God. And God is, you've started on a journey that's going to go on through eternity. And, you know, all we can do is say, praise God. Praise God. You found out the first, you've taken the first step that you believe that God really does love
yes.
you. Yes. And I think, now, what's going to help you out? Read the Word.
Amen.
Read the Word. And there are so many places. Marla had mentioned Bible Gateway. A lot of ministries have Bible reading plans on their websites. Go to any Christian bookstore. And listen, you know what? I'm going to step out in faith here. If you don't have a Bible, contact Marla, and I'll bring you one.
Right.
I have extras. I have lots Amen. Of Bibles. So, you know, if you need a Bible, you can't afford one, let me know. I'll make sure you get one.
Exactly.
You know,
praise God.
But, you know, start with reading the Word because
Amen.
That's your food.
That's it.
That's your food. Pray. Prayer, communicating with God is so important. And fellowshipping.
Amen. Exactly. Thank you. Those are the tools, and that's how you're going to grow. And if you are sitting there today saying, but I am so defeated, you may need some more ministry, and we want you to get that. And if you're in the Tampa Bay area, or if you're not, you can get online and email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. I will answer you, and we will minister to you. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, we want you to come to our services and hear the truth of God's Word. Marla, it's been so long, I know, for some people, since they've really spent time with God. What do you say to them? What do you do to get started again?
Number one, know that He is real.
Amen.
He isn't a figment of our imagination. We're not playing church, playing
right.
God. He is real.
Amen.
And once you realize that He is as real as you sitting beside me, Pastor
right.
Marcia, and you sitting beside me, Jim, you know, just talk to Him.
Yes.
You don't have to have a structured prayer. Just talk to Him.
Amen.
As it, you know, He is your Father, and He loves you, and He cares about you more than you can ever imagine. And, you know, it's all a choice. You choose to give in to the lies, to the false
yes.
arguments, or you choose not to.
Exactly.
You know, that's just it.
Choose to get your healing.
Say no to Satan and say yes to a better life.
Amen. Get your healing. Pastor Jim, you got some final thoughts for this listening audience? We've covered so much today, haven't we?
We have.
It's been a great show.
I guess I would wrap everything up in just a couple of things. Just know that God loves you.
Amen.
I mean, we can't stress that enough. I know that we as a church are here for you. I mean,
right.
I think just looking at the members of our church, we have people in our church who've had a number of different issues.
Right.
But God works
Amen.
In everybody
Amen.
In the church. And we're all on the same path.
Yes.
We're walking toward the same goal.
Yes.
We may stumble, like Marla said. Sometimes we stumble. But God's always there to pick us up.
Amen.
We may not always come out of a battle victorious. But you know what? The war's already won.
Amen. Right.
And we love you. You know, we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we love you. You know, no one's a stranger to me. They're just an unmet friend.
Oh,
and only they can be out
That's exactly
of
right.
my life.
Right.
You know, and then I'll pray for them even more.
There
so.
You go. Wow. We always love being with you in your homes or in your cars. Every week, every Sunday at this time, we come live on this radio station, 1340 AM in the Tampa Bay area and www.tantalk1340.com. We want to hear from you. We didn't have the internet up today, but we normally do. But you can send your questions and your comments to us at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We invite you to become a partner in this radio outreach. Pastor Jim, you've got your yellow shirt on, and we will gladly send you. We got to get some shirts sent out this week, Marla, because I just haven't gotten it done, but we will. To some of you listening audience that have become partners for the radio outreach, we will send you a shirt. All you have to do is send us your size and your address, and you will get a free shirt. All you have to do is tell us you're a partner with us in this radio outreach that's been going on now over 2 years. Every Sunday, you're planting your finances in good soil. So we invite you to be a part of the ministry outreach of Beacon of Hope. Pastor Jim, it's been fun. Don't you love it?
It has been. And once again, I have to say, boom, the time is gone.
It's gone. 90 minutes, and here we are. And we are so excited to share the word. Marla, you're wonderful. Marla's our music director at Beacon, and you need to come and experience the worship that she brings on Sunday morning. It's powerful, isn't it?
It's awful.
Powerful.
Good.
It is, but it's great. And the Word of God is doing wonderful things in us. And the Word brings healing and restoration
Amen.
To hurting lives. Guess what? It's not far to Jesus, guys. See you next week at 4:30, Sunday Live, every Sunday on this radio station. God bless you. Have a great week. Contact us. We want to hear from you.
Yes,
it's not
you.
Far to Jesus.
No.